Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So the Taoiseach Simon Harris will travel to the UK today to meet with his newly elected counterpart, the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The two will meet in Chequers, where they aim to continue the Taoiseach's ambition of resetting Anglo-Irish relations. Their meeting coincides with the King's Speech, which is just about to begin. That marks the formal opening of Parliament. And with the very latest, I'm joined on the line by Henry Riley, who's a reporter with LBC News in London. Henry, thank you for joining us. Just as I say, that speech is about to begin in Parliament. Before we come to that, I just want to focus a little on that meeting between the Taoiseach Simon Harris and Keir Starmer, because that really will be about this plan to reset Anglo-Irish relations, won't it?
It will, and I think it gives, good morning Claire, it gives Keir Starmer quite an early chance really to sort of address this issue of relations with Ireland, and also to have a sort of meaningful conversation about relations with Europe more generally. It's an issue that the Labour Party during the campaign, the general election campaign, didn't really want to speak about with regards the sort of elephant in the room of Brexit. And now that Sir Keir Starmer is Prime Minister, now that he has a very healthy majority in the Houses of Parliament, it does give him an opportunity to really sort of drill down into the detail. And understandably, this comes just before the European Political Community Summit that we've got going on, which starts tomorrow here in the UK at Blenheim Palace in Oxfordshire. And so I think what this does is gives Keir Starmer, look, he's had many bilateral meetings already, but in particular with Simon Harris, what it will do is give him a chance to really sort of address some of those issues with regards to Brexit, with regards to where he's going to get some leeway, with regards to potentially reshaping an agreement with the EU. And he can get that early before that crucial meeting tomorrow with the with other European leaders.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that Keir Starmer worked in Northern Ireland for a number of years as a lawyer. So we might expect that he has a better understanding of the need for a strong relationship than some of his predecessors, and of course, some of his more recent predecessors.
Yes, that's certainly one way of putting it. He quite often speaks candidly, Keir Starmer, about the work he's done with regards to the work he's done with regards to law and order in Ireland. He often speaks about when he was director of public prosecutions and the fact he worked very closely, for instance, in Northern Ireland with the police service Northern Ireland. He's a man very well versed in issues of diplomacy with regards to law and order. And yes, I think that certainly the hope is among people, particularly on the Labour side, but also those sort of soft Conservatives, that better understanding and that way of manoeuvring, whilst in terms of politics, he's not the most experienced politician, but in terms of those other facets that you mentioned, there is certainly a hope that he can play the system.
Now, King Charles is just beginning to speak as we speak, Henry, but there's a bit of a wild ride when it comes to the pageantry around that ceremony, isn't there?
Yeah, and we absolutely love it. Quite right. This is a sort of shopping list of policies that happen in the King's Speech. It's a sort of wonderful, wacky day, really. It's full of the pomp and ceremony that we Brits love. So what you've got at the moment is, you quite rightly say, King Charles beginning what will probably be around 15 minutes or so. He's going to really sort of, it's almost like the football scores, really, where King Charles has got a really sort of endless list. And no criticism of King Charles, but the monarch often sounds dreadfully disinterested about all of the policies. And it's quite peculiar. You have to hear them read government slogans like take back control or levelling up. And I think they find parts of it quite uncomfortable. But what you've got this time is King Charles will be reading out 35, we imagine, different policies. They range from everything to the smoking ban to all kinds of policies on devolution. And what you've had this morning is this sort of strange ceremony, really, where the King, he left Buckingham Palace in his stagecoach. He arrived in the Houses of Parliament. He then heads straight to the House of Lords, which is where he is now. When he sits down, this happened around 6 or 7 minutes ago, he summons an individual called Black Rod, who's then sent to retrieve MPs who are then allowed into our upper chamber, into the House of Lords. They've now arrived and they're listening to the King reading out various policies that will form the government's first session of Parliament.
Don't they slam the door in Black Rod's face, though, as well? Isn't that part of it?
Yes. That's right, yes. So what the king will do is he'll summon Black Rod, who will then go and retrieve MPs. When Black Rod arrives at the Houses of Commons, the door is slammed in the face of Black Rod by the doorkeepers. Black Rod then has to, and that's to signify that Parliament is sovereign, in particular that the House of Commons is elected as opposed to the House of Lords, and that they are not bound by essentially the king. They have independence from the monarchy in the fact that they are elected. Black Rod then has to knock three times on the door with this sort of huge mace, and then eventually is let in and will say the king, as they have done around 10 minutes ago, would invite MPs to join them in the upper chamber, and Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak, the leader of course, opposition now in Rishi Sunak's case, and the Prime Minister, have now headed to the House of Lords, and it looks pretty snug in there. There's sort of, there's around 800 peers, and there's 650 members of the House of Commons, so well over 1,000 people who are sort of packed like sardines in our upper house at the moment.
Yeah, they do look as though they're sitting a little uncomfortably close to each other in there, and the king is reading out this legislative list now with a very expressionless face, as you say, but he's reading, it's say what you see, it's like catchphrase, isn't it? He's just got to read the words that he has been given by the Labour Party. And is this a wish list that we're going to hear from Labour today, or is this actually what they plan to do, and are they bound to do what they set out in the King's speech?
So you're not necessarily bound to do it. As we heard, the last King's speech that happened towards the end of 2023, because of parliamentary timetables, because of when the general election was called, a lot of it didn't end up happening. And actually what you've got this time is some of the bills from Rishi Sunak's last King's speech have sort of come back, really. So the smoking ban's the most obvious example, this sort of bold policy that Rishi Sunak announced at the back of his party conference last year, where this sort of phased smoking ban, for example, where if you're 14 or under, you'll never be able to buy a cigarette. So it's not all sort of from Sir Keir Starmer's side. It is more of a wish list, but it does sort of set the general direction with how the government will go. So what you've got at the moment is King Charles reading out those 35 bills. As I say, it's not voted on for some days yet. This is really a sort of direction of policy, a sort of sense of where we can see the Labour Party heading. What will then follow after King Charles has finished speaking is it will be debated in the House of Commons today. It will then be debated for a number of days as MPs really get into the details and get into the weeds of all of the legislation that is mentioned, because while some of it is briefed, it is not all briefed, and there may well be a rabbit out of the hat. We're not quite sure. That does sometimes happen.
We had wondered whether the Legacy Act would be mentioned in this speech. Now, the Irish Times reporting in the last 9 minutes or so, Mark Paul is saying that a commitment has been made, a formal commitment, to repeal the Troubles Legacy Act, which they had promised to do, but we weren't sure if this was going to be in the King's speech. It seems now that it is, which I know will be a relief, because all of the parties in Northern Ireland were opposed to that bill. But Hilary Benn did say, the new Northern Ireland secretary, that there were elements of it, the reconciliation body which was set up under that act, that may be worth retaining. So it will be interesting to see what they intend to do on that front.
That will be interesting. And as you say, I'm slightly surprised by that, because all of the approaches and certainly all of the musings from Hilary Benn since he's been Northern Ireland secretary, and also since he was shadow, were that that was something that we were expecting down the track, but not necessarily straight away. So clearly this is sort of feeds into that wider narrative, Claire, of a government that are keen to just get as much done as possible. They're wasting no time. And with regards to the legacy issue, clearly the government, I mean, it'd be interesting to note the exact detail with what they go with, but certainly that would suggest that there's been quite a lot of movement early on, and sets up quite nicely for that meeting with Simon Harris.
Well, they say that the Irish Times says that they're going to explore options to strengthen the independence of the Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery. So that would seem to fit with what Hilary Benn had suggested in the very early days after he was appointed. They've also, I mean, they said this prior to the King's speech, but the Rwanda plan is gone, isn't it? That notion that asylum seekers would be sent to Rwanda, that was gone before the King got near this speech.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we've known for some time that the Rwanda plan was going to go. Keir Starmer maintained throughout the whole campaign that he didn't like it. He calls it an expensive gimmick and instead said that there are far better ways of tackling the subject of illegal migration. Incidentally, Keir Starmer's been very firm on that issue. Often it's seen Labour as a sort of party is seen as being softer than the Conservatives on the issue of migration and, well, law and order more generally, but certainly on the issue of numbers of migration. And Keir Starmer has really sought to sort of dispel that. And whilst he's scrapping the Rwanda plan, and we'll find out the exact details in the King's speech, we've known that was coming, and Keir Starmer has other issues. So, for instance, a border security command, which is to sort of at source, at base, really try and intercept those vessels that are travelling the English Channel. And Keir Starmer saying that obviously many of them are run, operated by criminal gangs. And Keir Starmer trying to get on the front foot with regard to that, but clearly also trying to mark a change, saying that Rwanda as a plan, as a policy, simply didn't work.
Now, I was listening back to an interview that Angela Rayner did, a lengthy interview that she did on a podcast. She's a fascinating character, but that's besides the point. But she said one of her major ambition, or her top line ambition, is to build affordable homes right across the UK. And housing and planning, that is front and centre for this Labour government, isn't it? Reform of the planning system so that those houses can get built. And we're expecting to hear mention of that in the speech today too.
We are. And actually, if you look at the front pages of our newspapers today, the main focus, the main emphasis, those that have gone with political subjects, has been on the issue of housing and planning. This is something that has frustrated the British public for some time, mainly because we've seen a real stagnation in terms of the sheer number of homes, particularly the number of affordable homes, particularly when we have a growing population, not just in terms of birth rate, but also net migration. There has been a concern for some time about the number of homes. But the Labour Party, I mean, the actual policy itself is not too dissimilar from the Conservatives in terms of that housing target. They want to build 1.5 million homes within 5 years. That matches the Conservative target of 300,000. The issue is the Conservatives never hit that target. And indeed, the then Housing Secretary, Michael Gove, Angela Rayner's predecessor, actually scrapped the target completely when he was Housing Secretary during the last couple of years. So clearly this is something Labour have got to grapple with. And given the sort of large majority that I referenced earlier, this is, I mean, with a majority of over 170, as Labour have got, there is no better chance than to reform planning, to reform housing than now. You're never going to be more popular than you are now. If you listen to Sir Tony Blair, who won a similar landslide in 1997, he often says that his biggest regret was that he didn't realise how much leeway he had. And early on, he said, unfortunately, it is when you are at your infancy in government, i.e. you don't know how all the levers work, but also you can't waste that opportunity. And we see by this King's speech more broadly, 35 bills, that Labour just trying to give this impression that they are straight back to work, that Keir Starmer's rolling his sleeves up. Housing's no exception. And clearly a lot of Labour MPs are going to have to swallow some joy and some pride, because they've been elected in areas where, quite frankly, their constituents don't want big housing blocks going up. Mm-hmm. But the Labour Party leadership will argue it's for the greater good.
All right, Henry, well, we'll let you get back, because I'm sure you want to listen to the rest of the King's speech. But thank you very much for taking us through how it all works and what we know so far. Henry Riley, reporter there with LBC News in London. Now, our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn, will tell us how raised cortisol might impact our health and what we can do to address it. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.